Chapter 57. Interlude. The parts that form us. Moving slowly, Bast stretched and looked around the room. Finally, the short fuse of his patience burned out.
Reshi?
Hmm? Kvothe looked at him.
And then what, Reshi? Did you talk to her?
Of course I talked to her. There would be no story if I hadn't. Telling that part is easy, but first I must describe her. I'm not sure how to do it.
Bast fidgeted. Kvothe laughed, a fond expression wiping the irritation from his face.
So is describing a beautiful woman as easy as looking at one for you?
Bast looked down and blushed, and Kvothe laid a gentle hand on his arm, smiling.
My trouble, Bast, is that she is very important. Important to the story. I cannot think of how to describe her without falling short of the mark.
I think I understand, Reshi, Bast said in conciliatory tones. I've seen her too, once.
Kvothe sat back in his chair, surprised.
You have, haven't you? I'd forgotten.
He pressed his hands to his lips.
How would you describe her, then?
Bast brightened at the opportunity. Straightening up in his chair, he looked thoughtful for a moment, then said,
She had perfect ears.
He made a delicate gesture with his hands.
Perfect little ears, like they were carved out of something.
Chronicler laughed, then looked slightly taken aback, as if he'd surprised himself.
Her ears?
He asked, as if he couldn't be sure he had heard correctly.
You know how hard it is to find a pretty girl with the right sort of ears,
Bast said matter-of-factly. Chronicler laughed again, seeming to find it easier the second time.
No,
he said.
No, I'm sure I don't.
Bast gave the story collector a deeply pitying look.
Well then, you'll just have to take my word for it. They were exceptionally fine.
I think you struck that chord well enough, Bast, Kvothe said, amused.
He paused for a moment, and when he spoke again, it was slowly, his eyes far away.
The trouble is, she is unlike anyone I have ever known. There was something intangible about her. Something compelling, like heat from a fire. She had a grace, a spark.
She had a crooked nose, Reshi,
Bast said, interrupting his master's reverie. Kvothe looked at him, a line of irritation creasing his forehead.
What?
Bast held his hands up defensively.
It's just something I noticed, Reshi. All the women in your story are beautiful. I can't gainsay you as a whole, as I've never seen any of them, but this one I did see. Her nose was a little crooked, and if we're being honest here, her face was a little narrow for my taste. She wasn't a perfect beauty by any means, Reshi. I should know. I've made some study of these things.
Kvothe stared at his student for a long moment, his expression solemn.
We are more than the parts that form us, Bast, he said with a hint of reproach.
I'm not saying she wasn't lovely, Reshi, Bast said quickly. She smiled at me. It went right down into you, if you understand me.
I understand, Bast, but then again, I've met her,
Kvothe looked at Chronicler.
The trouble comes from comparison, you see. If I say she was dark-haired, you might think, I've known dark-haired women, some of them lovely, but you would be far off the mark, because that woman would not really have anything in common with her. That other woman wouldn't have her quick wit, her easy charm. She was unlike anyone I have ever met.
Kvothe trailed off, looking down at folded hands. He was quiet for such a long moment that Bast began to fidget, looking around anxiously.
There's no sense worrying, I suppose, Kvothe
said at last, looking up and motioning to Chronicler.
If I ruin this as well, it will be a small thing as far as the world is concerned.
Chronicler picked up his pen, and Kvothe began to speak before he had the chance to dip it.
Her eyes were dark. Dark as chocolate, dark as coffee. Dark as the polished wood of my father's lute. They were set in a fair face, oval, like a teardrop.
Kvothe stopped suddenly as if he had run himself out of words. The silence was so sudden and deep that Chronicler glanced briefly up from his page, something he had not done before. But even as Chronicler looked up, another flood of words burst out of Quoth.
Her easy smile could stop a man's heart. Her lips were red, not the garish painted red so many women believe makes them desirable. Her lips were always red, morning and night, as if minutes before you saw her, she had been eating sweet berries or drinking heart's blood. No matter where she stood, she was in the center of the room.
Quoth frowned.
Do not misunderstand. She was not loud or vain. We stare at a fire because it flickers, because it glows. The light is what catches our eyes, but what makes a man lean close to a fire has nothing to do with its bright shape. What draws you to a fire is the warmth you feel when you come near. The same was true of Denna.
As Quoth spoke, his expression twisted as if each word he spoke rankled him more and more. And while the words were clear, they matched his expression as if each one was rasped with a rough file before it left his mouth.
She. Quoth's head was bowed so low, he seemed to be speaking to his hands laying in his lap. What am I doing?
He said faintly, as if his mouth was full of grey ash.
What good can come of this? How can I make any sense of her for you when I have never understood the last piece of her myself?
Chronicler had written most of this out before he realized that Quoth had probably not intended him to. He froze for a bare moment, then finished scratching down the rest of the sentence. Then he waited a long, quiet moment before he stole a look upward at Quoth. Quoth's eyes caught and held him. They were the same dark eyes that Chronicler had seen before. Eyes like angry gods. For a moment it was all Chronicler could do to not draw back from the table. There was an icy silence. Quoth stood and pointed at the paper that lay in front of Chronicler.
Cross that out, he grated.
Chronicler blanched, his expression as stricken as if he'd been stabbed. When he made no move, Quoth reached down and calmly slid the half-written sheet from under Chronicler's pen.
If crossing out is something you feel disinclined towards.
Quoth tore the half-written sheet with slow care, the sound bleeding the color from Chronicler's face. With terrible deliberateness, Quoth lifted a blank sheet and lay it carefully in front of the stunned scribe. One long finger stabbed at the torn sheet, smearing the still wet ink.
Copy to here,
he said in a voice that was cold and motionless as iron. The iron was in his eyes too, hard and dark. There was no arguing. Chronicler quietly copied to where Quoth's finger pinned the paper to the table. Once Chronicler was finished, Quoth began to speak crisply and clearly as if he were biting off pieces of ice.
In what manner was she beautiful? I realize that I cannot say enough. So, since I cannot say enough, at least I will avoid saying too much. Say this. That she was dark-haired. There. It was long and straight. She was dark of eye and fair-complected. There. Her face was oval, her jaw strong and delicate. Say that she was poised and graceful. There.
Quoth took a breath before continuing.
Finally, say that she was beautiful. That is all that can be well said. That she was beautiful, through to her bones, despite any flaw or fault. She was beautiful, to Quoth at least.
At least?
To Quoth, she was most beautiful.
For a moment, Quoth tensed as if he would leap up and tear this sheet away from Chronicler as well. Then he relaxed, like a sail when the wind leaves it.
But to be honest, it must be said that she was beautiful to others as well.